Good evening. Greet each one in Christ's precious name. It's good to be with you tonight. The message title was already given, Conversational Evangelism. Probably most of you know this was an assignment that was given for Winter Bible School. I feel a little bad. Brother Myron was teaching back in Shirksville, so he already heard this. Anyway, always makes me nervous when I have to, someone has to hear it the second time. But I didn't receive this assignment because I have it mastered. Tonight I'm preaching to myself. You know, sometimes it feels like God gives me assignments that address needs in my own life. And that needs some help. And back when I think Robert had called me, maybe back last November, December, for November of 2016, looked like a long way down the road, but here we are. It's amazing how time keeps moving on. Conversational evangelism. I have a text verse. You don't have to turn to it. I got a lot of ground to cover here. First Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. My goal for this message, I want to stir your hearts and just give you a burden for the lost. I want to just show you where the lost will spend eternity. We already know this, but just want to refresh that in your minds, and hopefully that'll inspire us. It'll renew our vision to reach out and do all that we can to just to reach out and help save the many that are the poor lost souls around us. You know, tonight, if we don't have a burden for the lost, this message probably is a waste of our time. It really is. And because evangelism is hard work. It really is. And it's going to require us to get out of our comfort zone. What is evangelism? Evangelism is a zealous preaching or spreading of the gospel as through missionary work. You know, a lot of times we think of those living in foreign lands as missionaries. I looked up the dictionary definition of missionary is, number one, a person sent on the work of a religious mission. Number two, a person who works to advance some cause or idea. As I thought about that, I noticed that there was no definition defining a missionary as having to be someone living a certain distance away from home. And I remember Brother Luke one time quoted in a message that said something like this. A lot of times we think the mission field is a plane ride or a subway ride away. And that's true, but that's not the case. Our mission field may be our next door neighbor. Maybe the person that you're going to meet tomorrow at work. And it even includes the children that God has given you. It really does. It's anyone that needs to hear the story of God's love and the plan of redemption for the human race is someone's mission field. There's many different ways to evangelize, by preaching, by singing, by the example of our lives, by conversation. Cam has a billboard evangelism program. I like watching that. There's so many different ways, but this evening we're talking about conversational evangelism, which is the spreading of the gospel by talking to others about Christ. First part of the message, Why spread the good news? I have 2 points. Point number one, people are dying and going to hell. Let me give you a scenario. I put together a little happening, a little story, just to get you thinking. Just listen as I read. You and your family are on the way to church. You round a bend and something catches your eye. Because it is dark, the glow of a fire stands out in the big two-story house that is nestled back in the woods. A second look tells you there is real trouble. There is a glow of fire and smoke is billowing out of the lower level on the one end of the house. Fear strikes your heart as you race in the lane. I wonder if anyone is at home, you ask yourself. You slam your car into park, jump out, throw off your suit coat, and run for the house. As you near the house, two middle-aged children cry for help from the upper-level bedroom window. After a quick dialogue, you find out their dad works nights, so he is sleeping. So, there are the two children in an upper-level bedroom, there are two younger children who had been playing in the lower level, and a dad that is sleeping. Their mother isn't home because she just ran to the grocery store for a few items. Your adrenaline hits an all-time high because you have a matter of minutes and it's going to be too late to rescue the people in the house. There are lives at stake. It has to happen now. Well, so much for that story. Just wanted to get you to do some thinking. You know, lots of heroic acts have been done to save lives from burning buildings, accidents. And that's how it should be. But just think about what I just read. You know, just in that short story, you would have had to risk your life. You would have gave up your schedule. You would have gave up your agenda. And you probably would have ruined your church clothes to try to rescue the folks in the burning house. And that's how it should be. You know, but that didn't matter to you because you're concerned about saving lives. You know, there were lives at stake. You were going to do all that you could do to save those lives. You know, we all know the urgency that we would respond with when we got into a situation like that. As I thought about that, I had a wonder. You know, wondered what a difference we could make in this lost world if you and I would respond to their lost spiritual state with the same urgency. You know, we have lost souls all around us that are dying, and they're going to hell. They're going to spend eternity in hell. You know, and it's so easy for Cliff Kreider just to sit back and just let them go. If you're like me, we use excuses like, I don't know what to say. I'll talk to him when the right opportunity comes. But you know how that goes. The right opportunity never comes. Or I already tried to talk to him and he just got upset, so it's no use. And when they pass away, then we say, yes, it's really sad that he died unsaved, but he knew better than he was doing, and it was finally his choice. And yes, it was his choice. Let me give you some statistics. I like numbers. Now, these are 2015 statistics. If time keeps moving on, we'll soon have the 2016 statistics, but these are 2015. In 2015, now this is worldwide, 59,899,174 people died. That's in 1 year. And also worldwide, the average death per day is 162,116. It's average deaths per day worldwide. That means that there are 6,755 deaths in an hour. You know, we may be here in an hour. In that time, 6,755 people passed away. You know, those figures are mind-boggling. You know, we really can't hardly comprehend those figures. But just remember, every one of those numbers was a never-dying soul that will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. And I don't know what percentage of those deaths are children. They didn't have that spelled out. But if they're under the age of accountability, they're enlarging heaven's numbers, and just praise the Lord for that. But of the adults, the Bible tells us in Matthew 7, verse 13, says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Why spread the good news? Point number two. Christ commanded us to spread the gospel. I'm going to read Matthew 28. It's a great commission. Let me turn to it if you care to. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It's Christ's words. Matthew 28, verse 19. Reads like this. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Christ commanded us to teach all nations. And that includes the nation that you and I live in. It includes our family, our friends, our neighbors, those we work with, those you meet shopping, or anywhere else. It's the people that God brings into your life every day. You know, we should be ready to evangelize every day, everywhere, anywhere. We are not just called to be witnesses when we set aside special times and places to witness. That's very important. New York for Jesus, street work, things like that. It's very good. And God calls some men to be preaching evangelists, but he calls all of us, every one of us, to spread his gospel by talking to those we meet. God expects all of us to be involved in mission work. So I thought about that. You know, one excuse we use sometimes is I can't talk or I don't know what to say. Turn to Exodus 4. I just want to read a couple verses there. Exodus 4. We all know the story of Moses and the excuses that he was making. We don't have time to read this story, but when he was making excuses, when God called him to lead the children of Israel. Exodus 4, I'm going to read 10 to 12. Verse 10. "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And in just verse 14, the first part of it, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. You know, the Lord was angry with Moses for making these excuses. So don't use those excuses, or the Lord will be upset with you too. You know, just like Moses, God created you with a mouth, and he'll direct you what to say. Probably everyone here was born with a mouth and have a voice that works. And our voices are such a gift. We don't only realize what we're missing if we would lose it. Voices are such a gift. You know, we all can talk. We all do talk. We talk a lot. You know, as soon as this service is over, there'll be a lot of talk going on. And that's good. That's how it should be. It's not wrong to talk. But what if God would take away the voices of those who are not witnessing for him? I had to wonder how many of us would be able to talk. You know, rather than worrying about what we might say wrong, we probably should worry about what the consequences will be for not speaking to the lost souls around us. You know, God wants you to speak out. God needs our tongues to share the plan of salvation to the lost. The question is, can he count on you? Can he count on me? Second part of the message, I have some practical tips for evangelizing. Point number one, ask God to lead you to seeking souls. Turn to Colossians 4. I have a few verses I want to read. Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6. Remember, the point is ask God to lead you to seeking souls. Verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. You know, maybe some of you are thinking, well, I really don't get out very much and meet people. Well, this evening, I want to make this very plain. Your number one mission field is your children. It really is. Don't forget that. Your number one mission field is right in your own home. Your family is the only thing that you can take to heaven. Just never forget that. Parents, start when they're young. It's a lot of hard work, but just keep at it. Teach them about God and the Bible. Teach them to be obedient. Teach them to respect authority. Teach them to learn how to work. And you could keep going. Could add to that list. But I believe if we teach them these things, it'll help them make right choices when Christ calls them. So parents, I just want to encourage you. Just give it your all. Make every day count. Just a word to the grandparents. We need your help. You can be a tremendous example of faithfulness to these young souls. And I really believe that your grandchildren need to hear words of encouragement from you. How about our neighbors and the people we work with, our customers? You know, our point was, ask God to lead you to seeking souls. You know, those needy souls, they're out there. They're all around us. They're already there. We just need to open our eyes and be available. It's going to mean get out of our comfort zone. It really is. You know, most of us are uncomfortable and very self-conscious about imposing a religious conversation upon people that don't want to hear us. And if you start a conversation, you'll be able to tell. You can soon tell if they're open to hearing the gospel. You know, we are not here to force the gospel down people's throats. We really are not. We're here to plant the seed of the gospel in their heart. And if we're faithful in planting the seed, then God, His Spirit, will take it from there and help it grow in their hearts if they allow it to work in their lives. Point number two, be willing to witness to anyone. Have you ever met someone and instantly concluded that they would never be interested in the gospel and decided it was not worth talking to them about Christ? You know, you could be very wrong. Some of the most unlovable people might be the most acceptable. You know, it's so easy to make a judgment call on people. It really is. I work with the public, so it's so easy to look at those drug addicts and those alcoholics and feel like there's no hope for them. But you and I need to realize that if it wasn't for God's mercy and for someone who was willing to lead us to Christ, some of us could be one of those drug addicts or alcoholics. You know, in the business world, I can tend to cater to the well-to-do people that seem to have life figured out. You know, these kind of people benefit us in business. But a lot of times, those well-to-do people have everything they need. They're self-sufficient, and they really don't need Christ. They don't realize they need Christ. But sometimes the people we consider low lives, they may be hitting the bottom. They're at the bottom. They're ready for something different. And they may need you to show them the way to God. So never write anyone off. As long as there's life, there's still hope for them. I thought about Jesus and his life here in this earth. You know, Jesus gave us such a perfect example of reaching out to the hurting and the often rejected class of people. He asked for a drink from the Samaritan woman. He asked Zacchaeus to come to his house to visit. He ate with the publicans and sinners. You could keep going. The list could go on for a long time. Let's follow Christ's example to reach out to those hurting people. Point number three, respond to the Spirit's leading. Turn to Acts 8. I need to read some verses from Acts 8. When I thought about responding to the Spirit's leading, I thought about the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I just want to read a couple verses here. Acts 8, I'm going to read 26 to 39. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip, and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. It's quite a story. You know, probably none of us will experience such a direct leading from the Spirit as Philip did in this story, but if we're open, he will lead us. He really will. Just a little on the story. You know, notice that there is no record of Philip hesitating to the Spirit's direction. I was challenged with that. You know, when the Spirit said, go, he arose and went. And the second time the Spirit said, go, it says he ran. Now, I believe if we're in tune with God, he will bring people into our lives, and he will direct us in our conversations with them. If God knows that you and I are willing to witness for him, he will bring people into our lives who are sincere seekers. Don't let him down by neglecting the opportunities that he gives us. As I thought about respond to the Spirit's leading, I had to think of my grandfather. I had a tremendous example of conversational evangelism from my grandfather, Harvey Martin. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about him tonight. He's no longer living, so I think I can talk about him. I'm not here to lift him up, but I need to learn some lessons from him. You know, I can still hear him say, I love to see Christ change the worst sinner into a saint. It is such a miracle. You know, that's a good many years ago. But you know what? That is still a miracle today. Tremendous miracle. Just a little bit about him. He helped start what is today the Texter Mountain Mennonite Church. Texter Mountain Church was started in 1953. And I've heard dozens of stories from my grandparents and my parents from the 1950s and 1960s. Back in that time, a lot of people that lived on Texter Mountain were very poor. And they were very poor. They were a rough set of people. I grew up knowing my grandfather as a man who visited a lot of people. Evenings, Saturdays, he would just go visit people. And they worked that mountain hard, going from house to house. So let me just tell you a little story here. In their visitation efforts, they came across this very poor family. And after many visits and telling them the good news, they were trying to get the father to go along to church. And he was starting to act interested in going along to church, till he stopped and said, "I guess I can't go along because I don't have any good clothes to wear." Now remember, I said they were very poor, and they were poor. He didn't have any good clothes. He wasn't a church-going man. It wasn't just an excuse. Well, the men that were visiting him said, "No problem. You just come as you are. And we will come in our work clothes too." So my grandfather and a couple other brethren came to church in their work overalls and work shoes. And my grandmother and my mom were ashamed of my grandfather going to church dressed like that. But they knew that he was willing to do that just so that one lost soul could come to church and hear some good gospel preaching. I was challenged with that. I had to wonder if I would be willing to do something like that in 2016 to be able to reach some needy soul. Wondered how that plays out in 2016. Well, in his last years, after my grandmother had passed away, he had spent a good bit of time over at our place. He'd come for meals over my parents' place. And, of course, he would come out to the shop. There's always a lot of customers coming and going. And it didn't take him long until someone would walk in and he'd make his way over to him. I knew what was coming. He'd soon start a conversation with someone and be talking about the weather, and it would end up about their soul. Do they go to church? Do they know the Lord? And two houses down from the shop, there was a antique dealer. And my grandfather and this antique dealer were both in their 80s. And my grandfather would go down there and just sit there and talk. They'd talk for hours about old times, all kinds of things. But there was a lot of evangelizing going on. One time, that antique dealer told my grandfather, "You know, your Bible means to you what my antiques mean to me." Four houses down, there was an alcoholic that lived there. He was in his 80s. My grandfather would go down there. They would visit for hours. And he would just, he would challenge him. You know, we had a lot of talks with both these men, this antique dealer and this alcoholic. To my knowledge, I don't know that either of them got saved. But you know what? They had one more chance. One more chance to hear about Jesus and the redemption story. You know, sometimes I thought my grandfather was too aggressive. Sometimes I wished he'd just back off a little bit. You know, but he was excited about what God had done in his life. And he was not going to lose any opportunity he got to tell others about the good news. Yes, he made a lot of friends, but yes, he made a lot of enemies. But one thing I know, when he gets to the judgment, God will not say to him, "You were ashamed of me and failed to tell the gospel story." This evening, are you content with your efforts in evangelism? think about that. You know, the real question is God happy with your efforts? Is he happy with my efforts? It's a challenge. Point number four, show an interest in what is happening in their lives. You know, to the people that you rub shoulders with, maybe it's the people you do business with, your customers, your neighbors. There are so many hurting people. You know, these people may be fighting cancer. They may be have some other terminal illness. They may have just lost a loved one. They may have just separated or going through a divorce. They may be living in fear of World War III or the financial crash that may happen any time. There's just so many people out there that need our help. How are we going to show an interest in people? The point was, show an interest in what is happening in their lives. How are we going to show an interest in people? I wrote down four things that will help us to be able to talk to people. Number one, be kind, courteous, and friendly. You know, we live in a dark, cold world. We do. A coarse world. It's a world where you're on your own. It's a world where you hoe your row and I'll hoe mine. Just stay out of my life. So let's just be kind, courteous, and friendly. You know, give them a smile. Use your tongue that God gave you. Use words like thank you, good morning. Number two, be sensitive. Keep your eyes open for hurting people. You know, they may be crying. They may look very distressed. And I'll agree, it helps to know someone like a customer. You know what they're facing. But God may be counting. God is counting on you to give them a word of encouragement. Or, number three, ask questions. Back to that story about Philip. What did Philip do? Philip started his conversation with the Ethiopian eunuch with a question. Just a simple question. Understandest thou what thou readest? You know, asking questions will often give an opportunity to get a conversation started. And I'm amazed at how many of our customers are facing something difficult. Like I listed some of those. You know, just ask them how they're doing. Usually they'll tell you if they want to talk. Or if they don't want you to get personal, they'll let you know. You can tell. But then be ready to give a listening ear. You know, we're talking about conversational evangelism, but that doesn't mean that you have to do all the talking. Listening is so important. Most people need a listening ear. We should not act like we have all the answers to life. Don't give them a lot of your own ideas. Direct them to the Bible. Try to quote scripture to them so they know that what they should do is based on the Bible. Try and make them God conscious. And then number four, give of your time. Time is something that we all don't have enough of. Give of your time. It'll show that you care. If you just take the time to listen to them share about what they're facing in life, and it's probably going to open up doors, giving you opportunity to talk. I need to remember that people are usually more open when they're facing something difficult, when they're going through hard times. And it feels like their life is out of control. That's when we need to be there. It may give us the opportunity to offer Christ, offer them hope for their situation. Well, in closing, Remember, God expects us to share the gift of salvation that we have received. You know, evangelism is not something that just a few of us are to be involved in. All of us are to be witnesses for Him. You know, God is just looking for ordinary people who are willing to speak a word for Him and tell others about His love and His redemption, plan of redemption for them. Let me just tell you a quick story. This happened when I was partway through Winter Bible School. And let me just share it with you. January the 14th, my wife had surgery. She had come out of recovery room, and she wanted to sleep. She was so tired. So I thought I'll go get flowers and eat lunch, let her rest. So being in a hurry to get back to the hospital, I went to a McDonald's at the east end of Lebanon there. And the lady that took my food order started talking. I had never seen her before. I didn't know her at all. But she was all worked up about the lottery. The night before, three winners had won the Powerball jackpot worth $1.6 billion. So each one of those were going to receive $528.8 million. This lady at McDonald's was upset with her husband. She had to work, and her husband was supposed to buy lottery tickets, and he forgot. She said she actually hit her husband because, you know, they had won. I mean, three people had won this jackpot, and he had forgot to buy tickets. Well, I got my food and walked away and went and sat down. And you know how it goes. Then the Spirit starts to work. It's like, should have said something. But what was I to say? You know, I could have preached her a message on how to treat her husband. The lottery, you know, what do you say? I didn't really care about the lottery. I could have used some lottery money to pay the hospital bill, yeah. To be honest, you know, my wife was laying up there in the hospital, and that's all I cared about. I really didn't care about the lottery. I didn't care about her soul. But anyway, I was sitting there, and I watched for an opportunity and went over to her, and I said, "You talked about the lottery." I said, let me just say a couple things here. Statistics show that a high percentage of people that win the lottery, their lives end up in shambles. I said, if I'd win that amount of money, it would ruin me. And I said, if you'd win that amount of money, it would probably ruin you. And I told her, money cannot buy happiness. And I told her, there's only one person that can give you true happiness, and that's Jesus. And we had a good conversation. I didn't tell you this story to make me look good, because I'd be embarrassed for you to know how many, you know, I walked away from that situation. I hadn't talked to her right on the spot, but I did have another opportunity. There's so many times I just walk away, let it go. You know, the point is, the opportunities, the reason I told you this story is just to show you, the opportunities are right in front of you. They're right in front of me. So they're there. What are we going to do about them? We need to open our eyes, open our ears, and be willing to open our mouth and speak a word for him. You know, like I said, most of the time, if we don't grab those opportunities when they're there, we miss them, and they're gone. So don't miss the opportunities that God sends your way. Well, God bless each one of you as you endeavor to speak a word for him. Let's come before the Lord in a kneeling prayer.